Thank you. Again, it gives me great joy to come into your home or wherever you are and talk to you about our Savior and the wonderful privileges that he has given to us as his people. I don't know how you're getting along in the book of Ephesians, but I confess to you I'm having a real time talking to you about these things that are given to us in the Word of God. I do this because, to me, it's a wonderful opportunity of talking to you about spiritual things that are revealed in the Scriptures. And the more I meet God's people, and the more I meet people in churches and in Bible conferences and in the world, I realize the tremendous need there is today for the people of God to live such lives that will bring glory to the Lord and attract unsaved people to the Savior. You see, the Christian life is a supernatural life. There are a great many people who are unsaved who try to imitate Christianity. They try to be Christians by pulling themselves up by their bootstraps. They try and try and try to live Christian lives, and bless their hearts, sometimes they live a better life than some Christians. I'm sorry to say that, but it's true. And those of us who love the Savior, our lives ought to be transparent. We ought to put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And we've been discussing this question in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. And we're right down to verse 25 through 29. Again, I want to come back to this, where we have the walk of the new man in Christ and the things that Christians ought to stop doing. Let me read it again. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now, we were discussing yesterday, or in our last lesson, this question about what we're supposed, or what the Spirit of God would have us stop doing. We had to put away lying. Why? Because we belong to each other, and we are created in righteousness and true holiness. Let's put away all deceit and all lying. And then we are not to lose control of ourselves, as verse 26 says, let not your indignation continue until you sin. Don't bear a grudge. Be reconciled to your brother. And let's get rid of this idea of remembering all our failures of the past. As I said, in the past lesson, I repeated, I thank the Lord that when he forgives, he forgets. Only God could do that, I guess. But as far as possible, don't throw up the past to somebody, will you? Meet the fellow or the woman as they are now. Give God an opportunity to change them. After all, you can't change them, and I can't change them. Only God can do that. And don't give the devil a place in your life. That is, don't open the door for him to do things that would quench the Spirit of God, that would hinder the purpose of God, or hinder the revelation of the love of God in your lives. And when you bear a grudge, when you keep up these things, that's what you do. You just open the door. Don't nurse along your anger. This is bad. Now then, in the next verse, in verse 28, we have the true motive for labor. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor. Let him work. Working with his hands a thing which is good, what for? That he may have to give to him that needeth. I say, here is the true motive for labor. The remedy for stealing is industry with a view to generosity. When a person steals, it's because they want it for themselves. But now, self is involved. But the true labor is that we might be able to give to somebody else who's in need. It's the true motive. You know, the Lord Jesus said it's far better to give than to receive. And some people are always on the receiving end. In fact, sometimes we kind of make God our servant. I'm sorry to say, Our prayers are full of asking for things from God to satisfy some selfish desires that we may have. The true motive for all labor is that we might be able to give to somebody else. It's better to give than to receive. There's a real joy in giving. And I'm sure that if Christians were to give, they'd have real joy in it. Here's the remedy for stealing, then. Let him that stole steal no more. You mean tell me that some of these Christians were stealing? Yes, I'm afraid that's true. They were lying. They were getting angry. They were stealing. Why, I thought the New Testament Christians, the early Christians, were so wonderful. They were. But just like you and me, they were still in bodies that were not yet redeemed. And they had the same problems you and I have. The human heart hasn't changed any. The human heart hasn't changed any. Only God can change us. And it's wonderful to know that we can obey the word of God, not to lie, not to deceive, not to get angry, not to lose your temper, not to bear a grudge, and don't steal anymore. You see, I wouldn't steal. Now, if I were to take the time, I'd point out, when you think of stealing, you're picking up some material thing, like money or goods or something else. But you know, this question of stealing, they tell me even in the grocery stores, they have to allow so much for millions of dollars that are stolen every year. And I'm sure that there are those who profess to be Christians who do a little stealing, just a little bit, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there, which thievery doesn't belong to you. Or you may steal time. You hire out to somebody, and I'm going to be blunt about this because I've been working in machine shops a great deal. I've worked in shipyards and railroad shops. Before the Lord kicked me out, and I use that word correctly, the Lord kicked me out to preach the gospel. I used to be a machinist and tool and die maker. Worked in machine shops. And I've met Christians who stole the time from the boss. You know what I mean by that? If you hire out to somebody, you'd be the best man, the best servant that fella ever had. Whether it's in a shop or a home or a store, whatever it may be. When you hire out, you hire yourself, your time, you sell your time to your boss for so much, and you give him good measure for it. Let's never be lazy. Let's never be lazy. You may not steal goods, but you certainly can steal time. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor. And as you work for somebody, you be the best man, the best woman that boss has ever had. If you're going to keep house for somebody, you keep it in a wonderful way. If you're working in a shop or a store, you just keep at it. You be a testimony for the Lord. Remember that, will you? And then you'll be able to give. In fact, I'll be very blunt and say this. It might be to your advantage even. You know, this is how people get on. You'll have more to give to the Lord's work and more to give to people who are in need. Remember that. And then he goes on in verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Let your speech be used for edification. You know, in Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, the Apostle Paul there speaks, let your speech be seasoned with salt. I think sometimes even he should have put another word in there. He should have said, let your speech be seasoned with salt and not with pepper. You know, there are some people, their tongues, they're kind of peppery. You know what I mean? Spitfires. And sometimes the tongue will do an awful, it'll make a lot of trouble. I know you don't mean it. But you watch what you have to say and how you say it. Let your speech be used for edification. I wonder how much more I should say about that. But it'd be a wonderful thing if we, and I'm speaking about Mitchell and you too, how we need to guard our words. Let our speech, let no corrupt communication proceed out of our mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, to help the other fellow. Let your mouth be free from dirty stories and corrupt communications and lying and things that would dishonor the Savior. Remember, you've put on the new man, created in righteousness and true holiness. And may your tongue and my tongue be free from cursing and bitterness, from filthy stories, and may what comes out of our mouth be to the praise of the glory of His grace. Oh, God, grant that we Christians might watch what we say and how we say it, so that we'll be, instead of us bringing trouble into people's lives, we might indeed bring joy and peace and blessing, edification. What do you mean by that? To build up people in the faith, to build them up in their lives before God, so that when we speak, instead of being a forked tongue like a serpent, it'll be words that shall bring blessing and joy. You remember in Romans chapter 3, it speaks of this. The poison of asps was under our lips. Our mouths used to be full of cursing and bitterness. Now, having been saved, He's put a new song in our mouth. We've got new words to use. And instead of being bitter and bringing trouble and heartache to people, God grant that we will speak the things that will bring praise to the Lord and joy to others. Now, that's what He's talking about. These are practical things. So you reread verses 25 down to verse 29, things that we should not do as Christians. Now, I know you're going to say, well, Mr. Mitchell, you know, you're not made like me. Just a minute. We all came down from Adam, and our hearts are that way, but I want to say that the Lord Jesus can make it real to you, and He can make your life to be a benediction instead of a curse. You can be a joy to people instead of being bitter. And may today be a day. Start today walking with the Savior and ask Him to take over in your life so the Spirit of God can use you in your words and your actions that will bring praise and honor to Him. This will fill you with joy today and give you a peace that passes all understanding. And the Lord wonderfully bless you now.